back to the Cobra Kai podcast here on Post Show Recaps. I'm Marissa Garza, and today we are talking about Season 5, Episode 3 of Playing with Fire. And as you know, the show has it all. There's your soap opera, there's your karate, there's your fun, there's your not so fun. So I can't talk about this alone. I'm joined by the man who knows you can't trash talk a karate assassin, Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Marissa, I'm good. This is a smoldering podcast talking about Cobra Kai. And you bring me in and I am gasoline. Boom.
Wow. Wow. You are on fire. In fuego. Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just enraging. Just it's as if you like threw a lit match into like a furniture store, let's say, just to say. It's just a hypothesis.
It's hypothetical. That's a different type of fuego than other fuegos, you know? Yeah. Like that's a very specific 30-year feud fuego.
That's how hot it is. If you just burnt a whole bunch of like couches and a whole bunch of tables in a furniture store, for no reason. I just came up out of thin air for that reason.
Yeah, just out of thin air. Any quick takes? Speaking of fuego, any quick takes about this episode before we talk about some breaking Cobra Kai news and jump into the recap?
I mean, I think anytime you reintroduce a classic movie villain from this universe, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. So this was a really fun episode. It really kind of also like progressed the story a lot in terms of our other main characters with Johnny, Miguel, Sam, and all that. So really busy episode. Really good episode. I really liked it.
Yeah, I think if 1 and 2 were hangovers from season 4, I think that this is like the true start of season 5 for us.
Yes, for sure. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So speaking of, I had mentioned there was some breaking Cobra Kai news between our last recording of this podcast and this one. It seems as though there will be a new Karate Kid movie coming out in 2024, which will be going back to what they are calling the original universe. I don't really know what this means, Jason. Can you give me your hot takes at this moment?
Well, listen, you had hypothesized like a podcast ago. What if you got 6 seasons in a movie?
Interesting.
I said, I don't know if, you know, it's a theatrical movie or a Netflix movie, but then not mere days later, this news came out of nowhere. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to do a Cobra Kai movie. That's going to be a thing. Yeah. Like I'm all excited and all that. But then just like a couple hours later, we get the news that this is not going to include any of the Cobra Kai cast, none of the Cobra Kai showrunners are involved in this. So that really leaves me head scratching and going, what could this be? I mean, it seems that we have mined almost every single thing we can mine from the original Cobra Kai universe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is it going to be like the people standing on the street who watch the fights? Like, I don't really know.
Right.
Who else we can bring in here? We brought like a lot of, especially this season, we brought so many people back. Not only do we have Mike Barnes in this episode, but then we'll get Jennifer later. So like, there's so many people. That and the one person that I really wanted to come back can't come back because unfortunately he's passed away. But like if Mr. Miyagi is really like the biggest pull. I know there's the big
swank of it all that it's out there, just hanging out there. Like what if they were like, Hillary, come on to Cobra Kai? She's like, No. Simple Netflix series is not going to do
okay. Okay, so this is what I've been waiting all week to tell you.
Okay, I'm waiting on your news. You've been teasing me all week with this. I have this big news. I'm not going to say to the podcast. Here we go. Okay,
this is like news. Okay, so there was this interview with Hilary Swank about her Alaska TV show, and in the talk of conversation, the topic of Cobra Kai came up, and she was like, "Well, this is an interview about the Alaska show, so I can't talk about Cobra Kai." That's all she said. And then they talked to the show creators, and they have 2 pieces of information on that. So like the show creator in this interview says, I can't say that we've talked to her, but I can't say that we haven't talked to her. So to me, that's we've talked to her. And then on Twitter this morning, I saw in response to this question, what can you tell us about Hilary Swank and the Cobra Kai series? Because the epicness would be extra epic. The showrunner, John Hurwitz, said, I can tell you that Hilary Swank is one of America's finest actors, and we'd be very lucky to have her join our dojo. So Jason, That's what I'm saying.
And the teasing is.
And it's hashtag Cobra Kai, hashtag Netflix, hashtag Julie Pierce forever.
That was from the showrunner? You said that?
That is from the showrunner who
Julie,
said that.
The Julie Pierce forever. I mean, if those for those that don't know, how could you not know that? Julie Pierce is the name of the Hilary Swank character. The Julie Pierce forever makes me think that something is going down. That this something is happening.
This is what I'm saying.
But that makes me feel like it's a season six.
I think we are getting, I think the possibility for six seasons in a movie is still true, but I think it's going to be six seasons and a movie. Like, they're not going to be necessarily
connected. And a movie, parentheses, not affiliated with us.
Yeah. Millennial ellipsis, a movie.
As far as the movie, my two thoughts were, like, okay, the first very far-fetched thought was like, what if we continue the next Karate Kid? But I just don't think next Karate Kid was that like iconic it was pretty enough.
Self-contained. They would have done it if it was worth it by now.
Right. I love it, but I don't think it's iconic enough to get another movie. Okay. Yeah. My other thought, which, you know, I guess it's a thing. Could be a prequel. Could be a Miyagi in his early years. How he learned his stuff, how he trained.
Oh, Jesus.
That would mean a recast for Miyagi, obviously. Agreed. Maybe in his 20s or 30s or just a young man, Miyagi, how he got his skills. I don't, what would you think of that? A prequel that's just, maybe it's just titled Miyagi.
Like of his days in Okinawa, like,
yeah.
Something like that with Chosen. Like, as long maybe as you get a Chosen.
Maybe you get a young Chosen cameo, who knows?
I think that would be interesting. I don't know if it's like, I get the sense what they're trying to do with this movie is like reboot the entire franchise as a whole again, like on the movie thing, which I don't know why. Like, I'm very confused because they did reboot the entire franchise here.
We don't talk about that here. We don't talk about the Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith movie. We don't know that exists here.
I don't think it's going that way. I do think I could see it being a prequel, but if this is a movie, I think it would, like a Miyagi prequel movie, I think it would be a great way to pay homage to Mr. Miyagi, who has, you know, been, you know, around the series, but not necessarily like a focus of it because of, you know, logistical situations. And it might be a way to kind of cap off the whole story, like the... I don't know if it would go anywhere else. It's not like, I don't want Miyagi. I just want Miyagi the movie. I wouldn't want Miyagi the series. or Miyagi the series of movies.
Yeah, but I don't know if I need a Miyagi
prequel. I don't even know if I need it.
Like, I'd go see it,
nice
I guess.
To see it.
Yeah, I'd go see it. It's just, I wasn't clamoring for it. Yeah. If you told me this was a movie connected to Cobra Kai and it was in theaters, I'd be in line first day. As if it was about the
kids, like kids, adults, the kids who turned into adults. Yes. Well, we shall see how this all unfolds and see if we can come up with any other movie predictions between now and our wrap-up show, which we'll be doing at the end of our coverage here. If you are just joining us on this Cobra Kai adventure, we are giving you a podcast or two podcasts a week talking about one episode each. You can find all of our podcasts by searching Cobra Kai, post your recaps anywhere you listen to podcasts, and subscribing is the easiest way to make sure you never miss anything. And on that wrap-up show that I just mentioned, we will be also taking your feedback. So I'd love to hear any feedback you'd like to share with us. You can send it directly to CobraKai@PostShowRecaps.com or reach out to us on Twitter or in the Discord for Post Show Recaps. Before we jump in to the recap of season 5, episode 3, before the movie gets here, we have to talk a little bit about this episode, but I do just want to remind everyone that this podcast is spoiler filled. Jason and I have watched the entire series from start to finish, some of us multiple times. So there is bound to be some spoilerage happening in our conversation. So if you have not watched ahead of season 5, episode 3, please do so and join us back here when you're ready. All right, Jason, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's not bury the lead. This is the episode that returns Mike Barnes' return to the CKU. I'm going with CKU. I like it, Jason. Hey, I think
works,
it's good.
Works for me.
Yeah. So before we get to his big reveal, let's talk about how we get there. Turns out Terry Silver has joined the country club. the country club that is like central to Danny's socialization. I don't really like every now and then we get a country club and I'm like, oh yeah, they're at the country club.
Oh yeah, Danny's loaded. I forget.
Yeah. Oh, that part. Danny chosen Louie, cousin Louie has returned, and Anoush are all, you know, that's the foursome of the day going for some golf. And guess, you know, Tara just shows up. And
I have the question. I want to tell Daniel to check his car. Make sure nobody's put like an Apple AirTag on his car. It feels like that's what Silver's done, because a couple times during this whole season, Silver will pop up on Danny.
And it's like creepy weird. Like, yeah, like, we talk a lot about stalking, but that's like a slow creep. Like, this is like a pop-up creep.
Yeah, Daniel, I think Silver might have had you chipped. I think he knows where you are at all times. You might want to get that checked out, because he just pops up on him several times during the season.
Yeah. In this conversation, though, Danny thinks he totally has the high hand, because he's like, yeah, oh, it looks like you hit a snag in your sensei search.
This he's is very so arrogant.
Bad. Yeah. Very,
like, I got you upper hand on you, Silver. Right? Yeah. I took out your stupid fake senseis. you know, what you going to do now?
Terry Silver, you're really out masterminding Terry Silver here. Terry's not buying it. He says, you know, this wasn't a smart call. I've got a lot of friends to call on, and gives Danny one more shot to stand down without any repercussions. But Danny's like, this is my backyard. You have to leave.
I'm going to say it again.
Okay. At a country club. This conversation is happening at a country club.
Right, real tough on the streets of ye olde country club. But listen, Daniel should have listened. You know,
agreed.
Just let Silver enter his stupid tournament. Like, Mike Barnes will have a furniture store. Like, you know, Daniel wouldn't have got beaten up later in the season.
The man maybe just wants karate. You know,
Silver offered you to just walk away with that. You already struck against Silver. He said, "That's fine. That's cool. Just stop messing with me, Danny." But yeah. Daniel cannot back down.
No, he can't. He has to keep going. And Terry leans in with big Bond villain vibes here. And it's like, nothing in your life will ever be the same, Danny boy.
So, like, Silver is a good, would be a good Bond villain. He chews scenery like a Bond villain for sure.
Yes. I think this is like the closest we get to see to the height of Karate Kid 3 Terry Silver in his intimidation and manipulation of Danny, because he's like, especially in this episode, this scene and the scene at the end really do kind of, you know, remind me, oh, Terry's a bit scary.
Like, yeah, Terry's for real.
Oh, he's not messing around. I did enjoy the comic relief we got from Louis and Anoush in this scene as well, because Louis's like, round of pina coladas for everyone. And he's just like, this isn't a sandals resort.
He's just like, that's play child stuff. Let's get some real liquor in here.
Yeah.
We're not paying for it.
We didn't get to see a lot of Louis in past seasons, nor Anoush. So it's interesting to see them both come back this season, and they will play a much larger part as we continue recapping the story.
Yeah, we get them in smaller doses, but I think that's probably for the best.
Probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they know their role, like comic relief, smart, not smart.
Like, yeah.
They do their job. Later at Miyagi-Do, Chosen and Danny are meeting up to talk about what happened at the country club. Chosen's back is sore because he's been sleeping on the sofa. And this is like, Danny says, yeah, we used to have a nice sofa, but then the kids from Cobra Kai broke in. And like, now we don't have a sofa for you to sleep on. And I'm just like, how long ago was this? Like, is this all, again, we talk about this from time to time, but this seems like, would you not have gotten a new like sofa bed?
Well, it's not like they did, but they just picked one up from like IKEA or something. They're just like, who knows when these Cobra Kai kids are going to break in here again and just destroy all our furniture. Let's not get very expensive stuff, because while this karate war is going on, nothing is safe. So let's just get this cheap furniture and call it for now. Because if they break in again, I don't want them to destroy more expensive stuff. But I mean, I guess the karate fight at the LaRusso's was a few months ago, maybe?
Yeah, it had to have been, because this is like summer.
Yeah.
And I think that was happening during school. So yeah, I think you're right. Chosen is really adamant about defending the LaRusso's in this moment.
Chosen feels really bad about what happened in Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
He's really thinks he needs to make amends to Danny by defending him and his family to the death, maybe. Like,
yeah, like I was like, are you Dannying it in this moment, Chosen? He's like, right. No one will ever hurt the LaRusso's again. I was like, okay, all right, okay. But yeah, he's very dedicated, and he points out, you know, like, oh, all we have to do is call Terry's old friends first. Who can we call? This, we get a very rare swear from Danny LaRusso, because he says Mike fucking Barnes.
And Barnes. And he says it with just like this heat, this passion of like, you know, like you said, Cobra Kai, I think this year really upped the swear words by like at least double
for
before. Because I mean, we had Miguel's quote unquote father that he thought was his father, like swearing, but he was swearing in a different language. So we thought it was, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
Throughout this season, there's more F bombs than I think ever before. So yeah, he's really intense.
Daniel, like, what?
What's the plan here though? Like, are we going to go? What if Barnes was still like really crazy? Like, is Xander just more stoking the fire here than doing anything helpful?
I don't know. I think he's definitely, you know, acting out of desperation. What's interesting is like Chosen knows that he can like handle anything that comes his way, but he doesn't necessarily know that Danny can't. Like, he's like, we'll be fine. It'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine no matter what happens. It's cool. And Danny at this point is a little bit more fragile than he was in previous seasons in general, and especially before Johnny Lawrence showed back up at the car dealership in season one. So yeah. It's a little bit different for him. We do get a nice montage to remind everyone who Mike Barnes is, and he's not that nice.
How intense Mike Barnes was.
Karate's bad boy. So they decide, as many characters do this season, to stalk Mike Barnes.
Boy, the stalking this season is out of control. Like,
so much. We're only on episode 3, and there's been so much stalking.
So much stuff. Like, I'm just gonna stake. We're gonna stake out Mike Barnes at his house. We've gone through the trouble of finding where he lives, and then we're gonna follow him to work. It's a problem. Like, they gotta relax.
Yeah, I like the conversation they had in the car while they were staking out his house. Danny's like, that guy tried to kill me. You don't forgive or forget something like that. And Chosen's like, what do you mean?
What do you mean, Daniel? You haven't forgiven me? And he's like, no, we're good. Like, that was so hilarious. And it just points out the fact that Daniel is just constantly hanging out with all of his old enemies. And it's like, hey, you really tried to hurt me / kill me once. Isn't that something that we're just cool and hanging out right now? Daniel has almost no other friends besides the people that have tried to harm or kill him.
I know. What does that say about karate?
Yeah. It really messes you up and impedes you from like creating more social bonds other than for your arch enemies.
I would love to hear from someone. If someone is listening to this and karate is a big part of their life, can you speak to friendships inside and outside of karate? Send us feedback at Cobra Kai.
That's a good thing. Can you also point out how karate the karate is on this show?
Yeah, that would also be good to know. Feedback would be welcome at this point.
Like, when you look at Tang Sudo and you're like, no, that's actually just really like amateur karate stuff. That's not like master level karate-ness. I'd really like to know that as well.
Yeah. Are we playing T-ball or major leagues? What's happening here? So they stalk Mike Barnes from his house to his work. And Mike starts, the buildup to this I thought was pretty hilarious, because he's unpacking saws from his car for some reason, and Chosen knows exactly what each one is for. That one is good for cutting pipe, that one is good for cutting bone. Like, did he go to assassin school and learned all of the things for assassinating?
If I was there, I'd be like, wait a minute, why do you know that the saw is good for cutting bone? Let's talk about that, Chosen. Let's unpack that for a minute.
You just have this conversation, like, that guy tried to kill me. You also tried to kill me. Oh, you also knew about Zori Ursa.
Listen, let's not forget that Chosen was pretty, like, badass, like, hardcore in Karate Kid 2. So, I mean, he may have a past where he's used some of these, like, saws for different reasons.
Yeah. Chosen notices they also have coons outside. He's like, don't worry, I got this. I'm going to go in. Chosen is, like, the tank in a video game. Like, he's just gonna go in, take care of business, doesn't care, doesn't see much of the surroundings, knows that he can get the job done. But Danny stops him and it's like, don't worry, I got this one. So he walks in and overhears Mike on the phone, and like, if you want to know about SEO, listen to this conversation, because everything Mike Barnes is saying is referencing Karate Kid 3, like, yeah. Every single thing. Back in business, just like old times. Italian, again with a swear, piece of shit. Yeah. Flew in from Japan, cutting off their legs. Kids are in for a big surprise. It was like every single phrase to identify this guy from Karate
Kid 3. And to trigger Danny. Of course, Danny, being so self-absorbed as he is, thinks that everything is about him and his problems and his, like, his war with Silver. So he's obviously like, oh, this is talk about me. This is talking about Chosen. This is talking about our kids. Yeah. This is talking about everything.
Yeah, yeah. And he, classic Danny LaRusso, like, interrupts. He meddles. He gets in there. And he's like, you will lay a finger on those kids. Like, what do you... What are you saying, Daniel? Like, this was weird, because then Mike Barnes recognizes Daniel LaRusso, and he's like, yeah, and then it's like, yeah, and then Daniel's like, what's going on? Like, you just interrupted this man on his phone call.
Well, he thought he was coming after the kids. Marissa, he was trying to interrupt the conversation, wouldn't go any further.
Oh, boy.
I did want, like, Mike Barnes, like, Daniel LaRusso? Oh, my God, you haven't aged a year. What?
It's true.
You still look like a kid.
It's true. There was some conversation on the internet this week about the CGI scene with Johnny Lawrence later in the season. Mm-hmm. And the showrunner's like, we didn't need CGI for Daniel.
No, not at all.
He's looking pretty young. So after the big interruption, things cool down. Mike Barnes tells Danny, hey, this is my furniture store. Like, look, this is what I did with my life. And again, I mean, the valley must be very large. This is not a small town. Like, they act like it's a small town because karate is everywhere and everybody karates. But Daniel LaRusso did not know that Mike Barnes has a furniture store for about 30 years. So
listen, maybe Mike Barnes does not have the Daniel LaRusso budget to make billboards, to make karate themed commercials.
Given the fact that we just said that Danny hangs out with all of the people from his past, you'd think you'd hear, like, I got this table from this furniture store.
This guy, Mike Barnes? Mike Barnes?
Mike Barnes?
That's my mortal enemy.
But this news to Danny, he's kind of like taken aback by it. And Mike is apologizing to Danny, and Danny's like, it's not needed. But this I thought was interesting from Mike. He said, the things that I said, the things I did, I thought it would trigger something. So I thought it's best to leave the past where it is. And I view this show as like a Ted Lasso light. Like, okay. It's definitely like exploring how men express emotions and talk to each other. And I thought that this was really like an interesting commentary on the insight into Mike Barnes, because he was like, look, I wanted to apologize, but I didn't want to make things worse. So I just kind of held it, and I just kind of let it. I moved on. I assumed you moved on. So we never had this conversation. I thought that was interesting. I could be reading too much into it, but
that's definitely an interesting commentary. And it's just like, I find it funny. Mike talks about, like, I got banned from karate, which was my whole life. So I picked up odd jobs and, you know, met my future father-in-law, and for whatever reason, he married his daughter off to me, which is another thing. So we decided to open this furniture store. And then he's like, yeah, I was over. I thought you were over it too, because that's what a healthy adult man would do, Daniel LaRusso. He would let this stuff go and be okay. But, I mean, I guess that's easy coming from the bully to the bullier. I mean, from the bully to the bullied, I should say. That would be easy to say that I just let it go because I was the bully. But I mean, he doesn't think about the trauma that he inflicted on Daniel, which we'll get into later on down the road in this season. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is definitely interesting. Yeah, it just kind of shows it's interesting to see someone from this universe, like, being a healthy individual. Like, we've seen Johnny.
Mike Barnes.
Yeah, we've seen Johnny. We've seen Kreese. Silver at first seemed like he is a different person. Yeah. But all those people that have been holding on to this 30-year, like, grudge, 30-year issue, just to see Mike Barnes like, no, I'm fine. I own a furniture store. I'm a successful businessman. Yeah. I haven't thought about you for a long time unless I see one of your little commercials. But yeah, I'm fine. And then to see where everything takes Mike Barnes later on to the season. This is such an insidious, like... like disease that, yeah. that grabs everyone and destroys them. We gotta get karate. We gotta abolish karate. I think that's what we have to do. We have to get rid of karate.
What is karate though? Karate equals what? What is the metaphor here? What are we supposed to learn, Jason?
Karate is a cancer. Karate is a problem. We need to eliminate karate. It only destroys. It does not help.
Oh boy. Again, if you live in the world of karate, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and I'll tell you why you need to get rid of your sport.
Yeah, so they continue to, you know, have this conversation. Danny's like, I'm glad it worked out for you. It's not so great for me right now.
And boy, it's doing a number on me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm letting those demons really haunt me.
And in this conversation, like, Mike is super empathetic to Danny in this whole thing. It's like, I can't imagine, you know, because Danny is explaining how Terry Silver's back in his life and all the stuff. And Mike is like, I can't imagine having that psycho in your life again. And I was like, not expecting this. I was like, what is happening?
And, like, yeah, again, because this is a 30-year-old Greg. Where did this come from?
Whoa. Danny is getting ready to leave. And Mike Barnes is like, you know, if you need a rematch, karate move, you know, they're where, like, to find me.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you.
They, like, have a little fake fight. Well, meanwhile, Chosen has waited too long in the car. And
I was like, F this noise.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go in there. He sees this little fake fight, thinks it's a real fight, and 100% kicks Mike Barnes down on the ground and, like, steps on his leg and starts a real fight. In the meantime, Danny gets thrown on a chair.
Daniel takes the worst punch from this fight because he gets hit like several times by accident. I love how Chosen, like, I thought he like broke Mike Barnes's leg. I was like, oh my god. Like, but yeah, it was fun to see, like, hey, Mike Barnes still knows some stuff from the old
days. Yeah. I mean, I guess it, like, lives in you. Like they were saying last episode, Miyagi-Do lives in you. Danny brings up the fight. He's like, Chosen, we're on the same side. Stop fighting. This is all one big misunderstanding. To which I think one of the best lines of the entire season/series is Chosen saying, well, if this is a misunderstanding, better call an ambulance. Because Chosen had taken care of some guys before he got in here.
Chosen's probably like, you know, I thought those guys were really easy to defeat for some karate goons. That makes a lot of sense now that they're just regular furniture people. Makes a lot of sense now. They were really easy to beat.
And, like, you know, well, I don't know the age of the goons, but, like, these get the middle age and higher, like, bracket.
Older, like, I think I can look at those guys and be like, you know, they may not be karate people. But, I mean, hey, we got a couple, like, overweight guys in the Miyagi-Do dojo, so.
Yeah, who knows?
Not necessarily, like, you know.
Yeah. They end up having a little post-fight chat. They've got ice packs because they aren't in the same shape they were before.
Like
everyone has. Yeah, they're very old. Mike mentions to Danny, like, hey, I don't really have much, but I might have the name of the lawyer who drew up the contract because, like, I can't believe this guy drew up a contract to pit two teenagers against each other. And I was like, Mike Barnes, you signed this contract.
I thought, like, does this mean, like, can they, when I first watched the season, I was like, does this mean, like, Mike Barnes technically, like, does still, like, own half a Cobra Kai?
Yeah,
this is a
actual
contract. Like, is that how we're going to, like, strike back against Silver? Like,
oh no, against Kreese, because maybe people come back with all their contracts because Terry Silver has promised 50% of Cobra Kai to, like, 800 different people, and they all show up and take care of John Kreese.
Like, now we all own a majority stake in Cobra Kai, so we're going to vote you out as a person of Cobra.
Bye,
Cobra. Bye,
Cobra. Bye. Chosen, while he's recovering and listening to this conversation, is really comfortable on this couch. And he's wants to take it home. Mike Barnes says it's normally $1,200, but for you it's $2,000, which I thought was great because he had caused all this ruckus. And earlier in the conversation, Mike Barnes had lost out on a commission because of Danny's interruption, so I think it's totally justified in the price hike.
Listen, they cost Mike Barnes probably a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Just today alone.
With workers' comp claims, furniture.
Commission taken down. Yeah. The least you could. I won't sue you for all the damages if you just add $800 onto the price of this couch.
Right. So they load up the couch, and Chosen is supervising, holding two pillows and saying, don't get blood on the couch.
Listen, that one line right there justifies the long way we had to go with this couch gag 100%. That started earlier in the episode. Like, this is all for this moment. Like, for Cho to be complaining about his back on the couch earlier in the episode, and it all culminated in this, and I'm fine with it because that was such a fun and funny moment. Like, I'm good with it.
It was good. It was well earned for sure. So we assume that Daniel has gone to make this phone call because later on in the episode, the scene that ends the episode, Danny's enjoying the steam room. He likes a good steam. You know, he's just not chilling because it's hot and it's a steam room, but he's relaxing. And we hear through the fog his voicemail that he left for the lawyer. And lo and behold, guess who's here? It's Terry Silver. He's like, I warned you. I have to deal with my own old friend first, but then I'll deal with you. Don't play with fire.
Listen, like,
okay,
Daniel, go to the doctor. Make sure you don't have like some microchip in you that's you're being tracked. Because why would Silver know you're here in the spa room? Anyway, either way. And listen, Silver warned him. He gave Daniel a warning. Do not F with me, because I will then have to F with you.
And it's like, not like Daniel doesn't know what Terry Silver is capable of. Right. So like, taking that warning would have been, you know, a smart move.
But then we wouldn't have a season to talk about. So
hey. This is true. This is true.
So yeah, I really thought we had a missed opportunity here in this episode to like meet the shady lawyer that that Terry hires. I thought that's where we were going when I first watched this episode, but I was like, oh, we didn't get to meet the shady lawyer, which could have been a fun little aside.
That's the spinoff or the movie is about the lawyers that have had to handle all the cases from all the
He's got stacks and stacks of contracts that Terry has made him draw up, like ridiculous contracts. I promise this guy 30% of Cobra Kai. I promise this guy 20. I promise this guy 10. I promise this guy 80. Like, for different stupid things that Terry has to have done. Terry at this point only owns 5% of Cobra Kai.
If that. Yeah. We find out that the way that Terry has taken care of his old friend is by lighting the furniture store on fire. And we get some really, I mean, not great, but great in the Cobra Kai sense, face acting from Mike Barnes.
Yeah.
Situation.
He's like, oh no. He didn't do all that.
But he had to like got out of the car. There was like the get out of the car, the turn, the face, the horror.
Shocked, like, oh God, oh no. that's hardcore to set the man's furniture store on fire.
Yeah.
And to just get rid of his whole livelihood. I mean, although I would hope that Mike Barnes had insurance on his store. But yeah, that's pretty hardcore right there.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right. Well, that was fun or something. It got us to this point. The couch part was fun. Everything else was kind of just like getting Mike Barnes in the picture, I think. However, I think I'm ready to talk about my favorite part of this entire episode, which is usually anything that has to do with Johnny Lawrence, but specifically this time, because this is when we find out that Johnny's going to be a dad. So this storyline starts off, Miguel's making breakfast because he's back from Mexico and he's trying to make amends with everyone because he realizes like he kind of messed some things up. So he's making breakfast. It's not that great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he could have had his dad teach him some like cooking lessons right? while he was in Mexico, because this is not good.
Right. Yeah. His grandma Rosa can't stay mad at him. Like, how could you stay mad at him? He's so cute. Like, look at all this stuff. They apologize. Everyone's on good terms. Johnny walks in. He was late because he was cleaning off graffiti off of his van. It delivers this great line. It should be illegal to deface someone's property like that. And Carmen's just like, it is. Yeah.
And Johnny's like, oh, you're also.
The man is like, what? 40, 50 in the show? I have no idea. He's just like,
yeah, he has no knowledge. No knowledge of the world. He's literally just like lived like in like a random ass apartment for the last 30 years, doing like seemingly knowing nothing about the world. He didn't even know about like computers until the first season. Didn't know about the internet. Like, maybe that's the movie. We get from Karate Kid, the end of Karate Kid 1, to the start of Cobra Kai, understanding what Johnny's life was like.
I'd be down for that. That'd be fun. Johnny offers to teach Miguel how to cook. And Jason, I don't know if you remember in season one seeing some of Johnny's cooking skills, but it included frying bologna just eating it and then eating some expired meat. So I don't know. Like, he's good-hearted, but I don't know if it's a good choice to have Johnny teach Miguel.
It would only be incrementally better than what Miguel offered this morning.
Which I couldn't see. Do you know what it was? Like, I think it was like eggs in toast.
Yeah, the burnt toast is what like really caught my eye, but I didn't catch anything else that was there.
Yeah, no one's really into it. So much so that Carmen rushes to the bathroom. And at this point, like, I knew.
My eyes got wide. Like, I was like, oh, what's going on?
Could it be?
Pregnancy scare. What? I mean, that's the old TV trope. Like, someone runs to the bathroom and starts throwing up.
Yeah, this whole storyline was very like 90s comedy situation.
Mm-hmm. Very, very 90s sitcom. Yes. 100%.
Like, because Miguel leaves for school. Who knows where Grandma Rose goes? I have no idea where she's going, but no one's there except for Carmen and Johnny. And Carmen tells Johnny that she might be pregnant. She's a couple of days late. Johnny's like, we use protection, to quote another 90s sitcom. They should put that on the box.
I did like the fact that it did not leave us hanging for like a whole other episode.
Yeah, agreed.
Because when I first watched the season, I was like, okay, they're going to string this out a little bit for like another episode or two before Carmen tells Johnny she might be pregnant. But no, then the very next scene, she's like, I think I'm pregnant. I was like, oh, okay, good job, show, for
helping us know. It wasn't poisoning, thank God.
Yeah, because they know that we know what running to the bathroom and throwing up means. Like,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, so don't play with us. Just give us the goods, like real fast.
What did you think of Johnny's reaction to Carmen saying this with his okay, all right, it's fine, okay?
Listen, he's freaked out as a probably almost 50-year-old should be, but learning that he's going to have a newborn child. I think I don't even think he thought that this was an option. Like, I don't know that I thought this was an option for Johnny and Carmen, because this came out of nowhere for me. It was not on my bingo board for the season. It was not on my like wish or to-do list for this season. Didn't think about it. So I am impressed that they came up with something that I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. Like, I think Johnny's reaction is warranted, because I don't think he was like even thinking this was going to happen.
I think yes, it was also very funny because he like drops his keys and Carmen's like, maybe I should drive, because they're gonna go pick up a pregnancy test because they want to confirm this. Carmen's like, I think maybe I should drive, and Johnny's like, yeah, okay,
yep, good idea.
That's a good idea. I do think his surprise is warranted. I also like this as kind of like the bookend to Johnny's story.
Yeah,
as a whole, and I'm glad that it's here.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny was surprised, especially given the fact that he thought that condoms were 100% like way to prevent pregnancy. Like,
yeah,
like what happened? We used a condom, and especially seeing the type of condoms that he was using later on in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably more like this is like an 80% chance this would happen.
So speaking of, they go to the drugstore to pick up the pregnancy test. The pharmacist knows exactly why they're there.
Yep. See it on her face.
Like morning after pill or pregnancy test. Like, well, what do you want? And tells them where the pregnancy tests are. Carmen goes there. This is where Johnny wants to return the condoms. And the pharmacist is just like, there's no way this was purchased.
Doesn't matter. Still want money back.
Yeah, so good. In the aisle, Carmen and Johnny like talk about how they weren't ready for parenthood for the first time, but they have each other now. But this still, Johnny's still not 100%. He sees a dad with a kid and a carrier and kind of like freaks out. And I think to Carmen's credit here, she's like, okay, we're not going to do this right now. I'll take the test later. And in the meantime, figure your stuff out. Like, figure out how to not be the guy who leaves again, because I'm not going to do this if you're not in, type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Carmen knows who she's dealing with at this point. She knows Johnny well. She knows that he means well, but she knows that he gets easily freaked out by like life stuff. I think I feel like she should know that Johnny is not a big like life experience guy. Like,
yeah, or even like planner. Like,
yeah, he didn't know what the internet was until a year ago. So like,
and even now he's still like using,
still iffy on it.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't blame Johnny for freaking out when he sees the, you know, the dad, the seemingly first time dad freaking out about his baby. So yeah, I think Johnny's reaction is warranted. I don't think it's, but he's always supportive as the thing. He's never like unsupportive. He's always like, yeah, it freaks me out, but I'm here for you. We're good. But Carmen just wants him to like come down to earth and be prepared.
And what I like about this is it still is speaking to Johnny's growth as a character, mm-hmm. because he still has that tendency to like run a little bit, but he knows that like his commitment, like he's choosing to honor the commitment with Carmen and not necessarily like run away into his old bad habits. So he's kind of like walking this tightrope at this moment in this drugstore. Later throughout the episode, he'll definitely, you know, choose a side of the tightrope. But right now he's kind of just like one foot on either side.
Yeah, I think if it was the Johnny of old, there may be some like really crass, like we want to go take care of it. Like there'd be some really crass joke like that. But I'm glad that he's very supportive. There's never any crazy talk like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad that he's being supportive, but obviously freaked out.
Yep. And if there's one thing I know about Johnny Lawrence is that when he's freaked out, there's gonna be a montage.
Yeah.
He processes through a montage. So we get kicks off with a Google of how to get ready for a baby.
Did you notice when he typed into the Google, it still had his old search for how do you tell your student that you're banging his mom? Yes. I thought that was a really good callback.
Yes. And like he's still using like the Dell computer he bought from the pawn shop. Like his technology has not up-leveled in any way, shape, or form. And so he's following this YouTube video of this woman telling you how to prepare for a baby. It includes swaddling, which he swaddles some beers, making sure there's good food around, which he smells the meat in his fridge and throws it out. Well, now because I have just watched season one, there is a moment in season one where his stepdad walks into his apartment and like smells the meat and it's still like all not expired. So I was like, is that the same meat? Like how long?
Probably.
Like how long has that meat been there? He replaces the posters of girls on the wall and puts up a lighthouse.
Downgrade.
I was downgrade. Not expecting. I was like, of all of the things, Johnny. Okay, lighthouse. And then the part of the scrummy. seeing the cockroaches. Well, seeing one, okay, fine. But seeing all of them in the couch was just like, oh my god. So much
that was pretty hilarious though. Like he sees one and then lives on the cushion, there's like 12 there. I'm like, oh my god, that's hilarious.
How do you not hear that though? Like
I don't think Johnny's is self-aware around. Enough.
Well, like, and he's not around
that. He's always at Carmen's house.
Oh yeah,
knocking
yeah,
her yeah. up. But yeah, I just think he's not even aware enough to even think of anything like that. He may just hear something like, oh whatever, it's nothing.
He goes into overdrive. He like fumigates all of the things, puts on a gas mask. He's like taking care of business.
And he lifts the mask up to like drink the beer while all the pesticide is still in the air. Like pretty totally like just getting rid of the fact that he needs a gas mask. He's like,
yeah, beer before you know, lung health, I guess.
Yeah.
Out of montages, what did you think of this one?
I think it was good. I think it was really fun. I'm glad they didn't spend like half the episode of Johnny doing this stuff, and that we got it out of the way really quickly. You know, really good stuff here.
I think for me, nothing will ever top Johnny throwing his phone into the ocean during his training montage, or like jumping over mailboxes and then randomly punching someone on the street. However, this was a top tier montage. I love a good Johnny Lawrence montage. Maybe that's the movie. It's a whole montage. Anyway, Miguel comes to visit Johnny in the middle of this cleaning. We'll talk about why, like the story around why Miguel is here. But I thought that this conversation between the two of them was really, really great. We get a lot of Johnny stuff at the beginning. It's like, Miguel's like, what's that smell? It's paint thinner or pesticides. Just breathe through your mouth. Like, don't worry about it. Do you want some milk? I have a whole fridge full of milk. And Miguel's like not putting together what's happening, because like Johnny was putting furniture together.
Yeah, Johnny spent his whole day at IKEA, and he's putting together all the furniture, putting up the random artwork. Yeah, I think this conversation with Miguel is really like prevalent to the fact that Johnny has grown. Like, we're at endgame Johnny here.
Yeah, 100%. Miguel explains that, you know, he's having issues with Sam and doesn't know what to say, and Johnny says, "Just tell the truth. If you own up to your mistakes, you always have a shot at making it right. You don't have to have it all figured out." Like, if we were making like motivational quotes from Cobra Kai,
yeah,
this is it. This is Johnny's.
Like, this is what is now going to be plastered on the Cobra Kai dojo wall once Johnny gets it back eventually. You know, this is what it'll be now, instead of No Mercy, Strike Hard, whatever. Yeah. This is what it will be.
Tell the truth, own up to mistakes.
Yeah, give mercy at all times. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Miguel seems to take it well. And I think it's interesting because throughout the season, Miguel still refers to Johnny as sensei. So I was like, this is a total dad conversation, not a sensei conversation. It'll be interesting to see when that changes over. Yeah.
You think we'll ever get him calling him dad? I don't know.
Dad, the movie.
This is all about Miguel learning how to call Johnny dad.
Carmen at the end of the day comes over. Johnny's like, don't worry, like the whole place is baby proof. Try to put your finger in the socket. Like, it's not gonna work. I've learned that like babies can hear music, so I loaded up the Walkman with all this music. You could put like Metallica on it if you want. She's like, yeah, Metallica.
I liked that. I was like, oh, okay, this is like, you know, I mentioned in the binge pod like how we never really got a lot of backstory into Carmen. Never really fleshed out her character a lot. But I like how like she and Johnny can, I've obviously probably related to liking Metallica. Like, this is part of their like thing.
Yeah.
Either that or Johnny introduced her to Metallica.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. So yeah, that was really fun. Like Carmen, like I'm always, when Carmen's here, I'm always on the lookout for Carmen moments, because I feel like she's one of the least fleshed out characters on the canvas here.
Yeah, agreed. And Johnny explains, you know, I didn't want to be a lame dad with the baby carriers and crap. But if doing this means doing this with you, I'll do whatever it takes. I won't back down. I was like, combine all of the things. Like, are you an Avenger? Are you like, what's happening?
And there's the sitcom. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Like, oh, Carmen's like, I couldn't wait. I took the test. And Johnny's like, I'm ready. And Carmen tells him, we're having a baby. And Johnny's response, badass.
Yeah, I did. I was, when I first saw this episode, I was on the lookout for like, maybe this was a false alarm, but it makes Johnny realize that he does want to have a baby with Carmen, that he is ready for a new fresh start. But I do like, we're skipping all of that and we are,
boom, baby. For
a minute, we're pregnant. Yeah. We're having a baby. Bada bing, bada boom. Because that's another good, like, sitcom thing is like, you know, we had the person doing all the stuff, and then it turns out, oh no, we weren't pregnant in the first place. Womp, womp, womp. But yeah, seeing as only we have 10 episodes per season instead of like a traditional sitcom, like 24 episodes, good to skip all that nonsense and give them a baby right now.
And I'm sure they knew, but we are just knowing like an imminent end to the series coming. Baby's well, gotta
we know it. They may not know it yet. We have declared that season 6 is going to be the end of Cobra Kai. They may have other plans, but we have declared it the end.
Anything else about Johnny and the baby?
No, I'm just excited to see what comes of this in the next season. How far we'll get into Johnny's dad journey mm-hmm. before the series ends. Like, will he? Like, we talked about maybe there being a time jump in between this season and next season. Will the baby mm-hmm. already have arrived by next season? What's going to happen
the
with
baby
that?
Girl. I mean, the only thing we know is it's going to be a girl.
Got to be a girl. There's no other way this is going to happen but be a girl. I'm excited to see what Johnny Lawrence is like in his new phase of being a man and having a newborn baby. Should bring some very comedic moments to the series.
Yeah, it's a good setup. All right. Well, this last little section of plot has the most questions for me. I mean, I think there was a lot here to really do just a little, like, we all knew where this was ending. Like, we all knew where this was going, I think, at the start of the episode. But throughout the episode, we had a number of scenes where Sam is, like, questioning who she is. And at the same time, Miguel is trying to reestablish their relationship. So if there's nothing that says breakup is someone looking and searching for themselves and another person wanting to reestablish a relationship, that's all we really needed. But we got some stuff. Miguel was hanging out while Hawk was getting a new tattoo. And it's like a lotus flower to cover up with the Grim Reaper.
I honestly didn't remember what the tattoo was they were covering up.
I don't either. But the lotus flower symbolizes new beginnings, and that's what Hawk has now, so it's all cool. Hawk and Dimitri ask Miguel about the trip, and you're like, did you fight it out with Robbie? No, for Sensei's sake, we're kind of, you know, keeping that. Again, Sensei's sake, not Dad's sake, not Johnny's sake, Sensei's sake. Very weird. Try to keep that on the down low. We get a text from Sam saying we should talk tonight. And Dimitri is like, no, this is never good.
At first, Dimitri clocks this very well. Like, that we should talk, never good.
Okay, you don't want to see that. We should talk by itself, never good. We should talk tonight, better.
Yeah, I still say it's just as bad. Like, I feel like I'm being called to the principal's office or something.
I like having like a defined time as to when the talk is happening. We should talk in general. I don't like it hanging out there part of it. We should talk tonight. Okay. All right. We know it's going to happen. Turns out that Sam is texting Miguel from brunch that she's having with Yasmin and Moon, who are giving her advice on what to say. And Sam's like, I have so much to say. Maybe I'll just put it all in the text. And Moon is like, hey, these are better in person. Moon is like the most sensible, even though she's like way super esoteric and like way out there. She's like the most grounded in the entire series.
For
she's
sure.
Like, have this conversation in person. And Yasmin's like, don't say a lot. Keep it short. Not sweet. And so she just sends, I'm okay, with no emoji, Jason.
You never say no emoji. That's a no-no. That's a relationship 101. You send emojis every day, every text, with a happy face, a heart, something.
Do they use a lot of emojis on Married at First Sight?
Yes. When there is text conversation, there is emojis, for sure.
Emojis. Yeah. Emojis are key communication in 2022. So Moon says, like, the solution to all of this is to go to the spa and go into a self-actualization pod. It's not about deprivation anymore. It's about connection with your innermost self.
Listen, I'm down for it.
Yeah, I've done one. It is really relaxing. I didn't have this like experience that Sam had, but I had like a relaxation hangover afterwards. I was like super chill for like a good 3 hours.
Really? But was it like you were in like one of these pod things and like you just had your face like out of water?
Yeah, there's so much salt in the water that you can't not float. So you're in it's completely pitch black. You can turn on lights if you want. Like, you can put on green lights or purple lights or blue lights, and then you can choose music if you want, or you can just like float there. And like at a certain point, I couldn't feel, like, this is gonna sound weird, like I couldn't feel my body, but mm-hmm. that's like the whole point, to just like let go of everything and be in the present moment. And then I got out of it and I was like, it was like I was high, but I wasn't high, because it was just like, yeah, Life is nice.
How long were you in there for?
Just like 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, give it a go.
Yeah, I feel like I'm too like technology reliant. I'd be like, I haven't checked my phone in like what's going on in the world.
You can do it. You can do it. But you can also have music on there, so you can still feel connected to some frequency, I guess. But my experience and Sam's experience are a little bit different.
Would you confront all of your demons at the same time?
All of them. All of them. She got all of them.
We got fight dark you.
We got Danny coming in telling Sam, you're LaRusso 2.0. Like, don't worry about it. That's who you are. Yasmin and Moon are like, you're just one of the girls. Robbie's like, you broke my heart. Like, where did this go?
Out of here, Robbie. We're over you anyway. We're with Miguel.
Yeah. Hawk is like, you're why we lost. Miguel says, you're my girlfriend. Why can't you just be supportive? And then we get Darth Sam, as I put in my notes, because she's like current Sam isn't a wikey, and then Darth Sam isn't a blacky. And
that's so, like, that's like 101 TV 101, like evil in the black.
It's not great.
Good in the white. Like, she thought it was Tori at first.
Yeah.
And then she turns around, it's dark. Like, I call it Dark Sam. This is Dark Sam. And it's like, we're going to fight each other. I was like, oh, this is deep.
And like, Dark Sam has size like Chosen did later in the thing. So I was like, whoa. Listen,
we are really like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, like deep here. Like, this is Raphael versus Donatello. Like,
yes, because there is the staff. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So she fights herself, but then she gets awoken by Moon, who had been thinking of herself as a drop of dew on a flower in the moon.
I'd be like, thank you so much for saving me. My dark self was just about to kill me.
It had to be like so disorienting though to come out of that. Like, like what? Like, there's light, and then I was like fighting myself.
I was really tripping. Yeah, I was tripping balls. Like, I definitely took some edibles. The taking edibles before you come in this tank is a bad idea.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the guy's side of things, Demetri's like, don't worry, I got a solution. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go buy Sam jewelry, because what I do whenever Yasmin and I have a fight is I buy her a charm after every single one. And it works like a charm. And so this is what girls want. And
just throw money at your problems, Mikkel.
Yeah, like, that's it. And Demetri's like, the problem is we're not reading into this enough. I was like, well, Demetri, have you been on this podcast? Because we read into things. All of the things.
That's what we're here for.
And so Hawk is asking the person across the counter, like, do you have anything for sorry I left the country during the biggest karate fight of your life? Yeah. The lady's like, that's a new one. And Miguel picks out an octopus necklace. Now, Jason, did I miss like their octopus love? Like, I don't know where why no an idea. Octopus.
I was like, why is this a thing? Like, is this a known fact for the show that Sam loves octopi? Like, did I miss that? But I mean, no, I guess it's just a fun thing. Like, is Sam supposed to read into this when she gets like the necklace? Like, what does this mean? Is this like have meaning?
He zeroed in on it. He was like, this is the one I want to get.
Am I an octopus? Like, what is this supposed to mean?
Don't worry, it's on sale. It's only $182. You got this. It's gonna be fine.
Only $182.
Yeah,
I like how Miguel's like, I can't afford this, and then he just has it. Like, okay, what did Demetri and Eli help you? Like, I gotta know.
What did you do for that? Did Johnny give you money? Did Johnny give money?
Did you karate your way out of this? Did you like roundhouse kick the lady and just run off? Like, what happened?
Oh boy, the world may never know. Yeah. So. Eventually, Sam and Miguel meet up in Miyagi-Do. Miguel tells Sam, I shouldn't have abandoned you like that. I wanted to start a new chapter and figure out my past. Oh, this is all the way going all the way back to prom. And Sam's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, whatever.
I got my own problem. Yeah. Let me tell you about me.
Yeah. I was only thinking of myself, which I'm making about you again, Miguel. This moment.
About you again. Let me tell you about me now.
I wasn't being sensitive to what you were going through, but I want you to know I really respect you for taking the time to find yourself. And I was like, oh, here it comes.
She really wanted to, she really used this lead up to the conversation to use to be like, and now it's time for me. Just like you did. So it's only fair that you got to, and now I get to, right?
do appreciate that she says, you know, like, I need that time too. It's affected all of my relationships. Like, she is seeing how karate can affect relationships early in her life and not waiting until fire furniture stores are burning down.
Listen, like, I'm with Sam. Listen, like I said, karate is a disease. It's grabbing all of us, Miguel, and it's destroying our lives. I gotta get out. I need to get out.
I am choosing to think that the karate is like the patriarchy or some sort of larger thing. We'll see. We'll see how it all ends. But that's my current hypothesis for the metaphor of karate. So they pull a Ross and Rachel, kind of. Like, we're going to go on a break. Let's have a break. And Sam says, I'm not okay right now, and I won't be until I have this figured out. And they think somehow, magically, they can still be friends. I don't know how. I don't know why. But we do get Miguel doing his best cry and walking away and then just dropping the 182 necklace on the ground.
Transition was impressive. He turned away from Sam and immediately started crying. Like, as soon as he got out of her vision, I was like, damn, that's impressive by, what's the guy's name? Zolo Rodriguez, maybe?
Yeah.
Impressive. I can see why you've now been cast as Blue Beetle in the DC movies. Very, very impressive transition, because he gets the scrunched up face.
He gets, it's like he stepped on quivering. A pin in a show or something, or in a shoe, like as he turned. It's like, oh.
He gets the quivering lip, like as soon as he turned around. And then, like, then yeah, drops this necklace on the ground. He just spent $182 on.
Yeah.
Ain't no way. I'm like, nope, this is coming with me. Going right back to the jewelry store, get my money back.
Yeah, right?
He just dropped it on the ground and walked off.
Didn't even, like, put it in a mailbox or, like, try to hide it or something. No, just, like, dropped it there. Anyway, well, and we know it doesn't rain in California, so she'll find it eventually, which she does, yeah, but it'll be still. Any thing we have not talked about when it comes to season 5, episode 3, Playing with Fire, Jason, that you want to make sure we dig into?
Yeah, I think we covered it.
Did we read into it enough?
Yeah, I think we examined every scene enough. I think we did. I think, like I said earlier, good progress for the show, for all the characters. Like you said, this is like a really the start of this season. You know, because the last episode could have ended season 4 and it would have been fine. This could have started season 5. But yeah, really good episode overall. Really enjoyable. But like most of the episodes of the season were really good.
Yeah. It had a montage. I can't complain about an episode with a montage.
For sure.
Well, if you don't want to miss anything else, please subscribe to the Cobra Kai feed by searching Cobra Kai Post Show Recaps wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love to have you along for the rest of the season. And please, as we mentioned a couple of times through the episode, we'd love to hear your feedback, karate centric or otherwise. And you can reach out to us at CobraKai@postshowrecaps.com or reach out to us on Twitter. Jason, where can people find you and what are you up to?
On Twitter, I'm at JAYR1085. As far as podcasting goes, right now on this network, Post Show Recaps, I'm covering She-Hulk with the great Sasha Joseph. Mm-hmm. Check us out every week as we go through this first season of She-Hulk. We are at episode 5 right now, so we got 4 more left. Check us out there. Leave us a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Also, over on the Rob Has Podcast Network, I'm doing A Perfect Match, which where we cover the show Married at First Sight. We have fun talking about those crazy people every week. Come in, join us, subscribe, rate, and review. And that's what I'm up to. How about you, Marissa? Nice.
She-Hulk and the pod, super fun. You're doing a great job. Great work.
Yeah, having fun over there.
Yeah, it's a good time. Highly recommend. Besides watching and listening to She-Hulk, I am podcasting about Cobra Kai with you. And then anything else that comes up, you can find out on my by visiting my Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars, or by connecting with me in the Post Show Recaps Discord, which you can get access to by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You get access at any level. We have our own like Halloween themed thread going on right now, which is pretty popular as we get ready for this festive season. Maybe we'll see some Cobra Kai costumes this year. Maybe not. I did see somewhere on the internet a Ms. Marvel themed costume with a little girl and her dad, and I think that's the top costume for me this year. But come check it out. Come talk to us there. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, go over bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.